Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Mark McCumber.
Mark, Joe Gallia.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting in the new school working on it right now.
Hey, cool.
So I figured I'd better stop for a minute and check in to see what's going on.
Cool. Well, I'm in the midst of torrential downpours.
Really?
Oh, it just started raining. It's so heavy, you can hardly see 20 feet in front out the window.
Wow. We need that really bad. We're in such a drought here in Illinois, it's ridiculous.
Well, you can have some of ours.
Well, we had a couple thunderstorms. We actually had 18 hurricanes or tornadoes hit just north of us in Wisconsin last week.
Here goes another beep. Who else is out there? Can't be just me and Mark.
I'm on, Joe. It's Joanne.
Who's that?
Joanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
You guys can hear me okay, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm on a headset. So I can take some notes today myself.
Yeah, it actually sounds pretty good.
Paul should be joining us shortly. So, who else is out there? Identify yourself.
Hi, my name is Mr. Benavides. I'm a new member.
Hi, Mr. Benavides. This is Joe Galley. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Thank you, sir.
Glad you could join us today.
Yes, sir. Just started a new school up on the 17th, and things are going really well right now.
Great. Is this your first teleconference with us?
Yes, it is, sir.
Cool. Since you're a new client, I'd like to point out that next week we will have the other two teleconferences.
Okay.
From our senior consultants, Melody Schumann and Ali Alberigo, both do a teleconference for us each month, and those will be available online for you to listen to, as well as a bunch of teleconferences over the past 6 months, and I think even longer for Ali. So there's a bunch of material out there that you can take advantage of if you like the teleconferences. Now, the one that we're doing today is our third one. It's a guest teleconference, and it usually ends up with us bringing someone in from the outside, and we do a little interview with them and try to get some insight to some other things that are going on out there.
Awesome. That's great. That is excellent. I'm excited about this. I really am.
Well, good. Well, it's great to have you here, and at the end you'll have a chance to ask some questions, which I think is an extremely valuable part of the teleconference, being able to talk to these guys, you know?
Yes, yes, sir.
Who else is out there?
This is Harry Bergolo from Miami with Master Velasquez Taekwondo Academy.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Glad you can join us today.
Great. Great to be here.
Okay. Is Paul there? Paul's on the West Coast. Hopefully he knows it's 1 Eastern, guys. Okay, we'll give him a couple minutes and a few minutes for people to get on as well. Heard another beep. Who joined us?
Yeah, it's Paul Revlin.
Oh, hi, Paul. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Who's that?
This is Master Velasquez from Miami.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Well,
just calling in to join the conference.
Great. Glad to have you today.
Great.
We'll get started in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
So as people come on, if you haven't said hi yet, you can say who you are and where you're from, and we'll say hello back.
Okay.
Hey, Paul, it's Mark McCumber out of Chicago.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good, fantastic. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
Well, thanks for joining us, Paul.
Yeah, of course.
very excited about this. This is certainly an area that, you know, probably doesn't get as much attention in the martial arts business world as it should. So I'm real happy to have you on to be able to provide some innovative ideas for our clients.
Okay, well, hopefully my diarrhea of the mouth will be helpful for people.
And for those of you who weren't able to make it out to the Leading Martial Arts Seminars at the Black Belt Festival, I guess that was just about 3 weeks ago, Paul had done a very, very nice seminar for our guests, and we got a lot of positive feedback on that. Thought I may as well pass that along to you now and stroke your ego a little bit.
Great.
Well,
how long are we going to be on?
We're going to be on for usually the interview can last anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. It all depends on how much answer you have to the questions I'm going to have for you.
Okay.
And then we'll have a few minutes at the end for people to ask questions. It will not go longer than an hour.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll get started right now. For those of you who don't know Paul, Paul is the president of Rev Gear Sports in Los Angeles. Rev Gear is a manufacturer and distributor of martial arts products and sporting goods. Paul is constantly traveling around the country speaking with school owners on how to maximize and improve their merchandise operations. He's also a CPA, which is quite interesting, and has a black belt in Krav Maga. So Paul's expertise outside of his CPA and his martial arts experience is something that I think a lot of school owners probably don't optimize their potential for revenue is in the retail part of their business. So let's get started with a real basic question is, Paul, what are the easiest ways to increase the merchandise sold at a school?
Okay, well, the easiest way generally does not involve the pro shop itself. And that's where a lot of school owners usually get tripped up or confused because they generally don't receive training in how to set up a pro shop or merchandise like a retail display like you would see at any retail store. And because of pressures that we hear from our peers and everyone around us in the industry is that you're supposed to have a great-looking pro shop, it's supposed to occupy a certain amount of space and look a certain way, and that's very challenging for us because we just don't get formal training in that. And nowhere in the course from white belt to black belt or anywhere in your martial arts training does anyone pull you aside and say, hey, let me show you how to set up a grid display and hang some shelves on it. So what we have to do is determine ways to move product without even having a pro shop per se, and that's usually where I start schools when we're starting from scratch. And the way we do that is by building products into the program. The easiest thing to do, simply put, is to build or create packages, some basic packages that work with your curriculum. And everyone has a different curriculum. Some people are teaching different programs within a curriculum, and that can be confusing too. But to break it down into its most basic components, you should have a basic package that everyone that can be offered to every new student whoever signs up. So at a bare minimum, that package, a commonly used package, is usually a very basic duffel bag, a uniform, a T-shirt, and sometimes a DVD or video, depending on what you want to teach or what you want to convey. The reason we include some kind of educational tool like that is because usually students, when they sign up, are very excited about signing up for the martial arts for the first time, and so they want to go home and watch or learn more about what it is they just signed up to do. And the reason we include a T-shirt is because T-shirts, the more T-shirts you sell, the more, in some ways, the more money you will save for two reasons. One is there's some profit margin built into it, and usually a high margin item. And number two is that the more T-shirts you have running around out there advertising for you, we call them walking, talking billboards, the more people you'll sign up, or at least the more people you'll sign up without having to spend more additional money on advertising or on Yellow Pages or other ways that you spend money to direct mail, whatever it is that drives students in the door, you might as well have a lot of walking, talking billboards. So we put a T-shirt into every package. I recommend that. And at the very minimum, set up a basic package that you offer to every new student that signs up. Now, that package, you can sell it two ways. You can tell people it's required that they have these items, specifically a uniform, or you can just build and make the package available to them at a certain price that is discounted compared to the normal price if they buy it at the time of sale. So hypothetically, they get 10% off if they buy it at the time of sale. What I think is better is to take the cost of that package. Let's say it costs $25, your cost. I would suggest you give it a full markup. You mark it up $50, or you set the price at $50 in theory, and then you just take the cost of your new sign-up and add the $50. So in this example, this is a very simplified example, but let's say you charge someone $100 to sign up. I would charge them now $150 to sign up, and I would tell them that they get all these things for free at the time of sign-up. So they get a duffel bag, a T-shirt, a uniform, and a DVD, all for the price of $150 in their first month of training or whatever it is that you're offering. So, but and that's obviously going to change depending on every school and the way they're enrolling students. But start with a basic package, and then let's build some other packages that can be built into your curriculum throughout the program. Because it's difficult to sell someone punches and kicks and a separate uniform later, or it's difficult to sell them their own box gloves if you're running cardio kickboxing, if you're trying to sell it all piecemeal and item by item. So here's some commonly sold packages that you can use. One is the most obvious one is usually a sparring gear package. That usually has headgear, punches, kicks, and that's usually and a duffel bag if they don't already have it. Sometimes people add shin guards, and some people add cups and a mouthpiece as well. Another common package for cardio kickboxing is like an aerobic boxing kit that has a backpack, boxing gloves, hand wraps, and a jump rope. And some other common packages are like a weapons package. For people who are teaching weapons programs, you can have something like a stick, chucks, a staff, and maybe a carry case for those kind of things.
You get to sell multiple items, and it's packaged as a here's everything you need.
Right. It's easier to sell it as here's everything you need than it is to sell them one by one by one. The challenge for a lot of school owners is they don't know how to build the packages, and we can help you with that at any given time if you want to give us a call here. And we do it every day. However, at its bare minimum, just think about the stuff that your students absolutely have to have and think about items that are complementary and that can be sold in a package.
Yeah, and I kind of like the way you have it said where a new member is coming in. You could actually have a price of $50 associated with the package, and you could be running promotions to have it included with sign-up or depending on how people do their introductory lessons or if they're doing some kind of an enrollment tour, whatever the case may be, they can always have this package as something that they can value add to facilitate a sign-up.
Right, I agree. I think the school owners need to take the time, and it's not a lot of time, it'll only take an hour or two, and outline, this is what I tell people to do, make two lists. You make a list product, list of items A, and then you may have a list called list B. On list A, you list all the items that your student absolutely must have if they're going to train in your facility from the day they sign up to the day they make black belt. And that's everything they have to have. That may include sparring gear, uniforms, duffel bag, maybe focus mitts or kicking targets, whatever that's going to be. And then I come up with a list B, which is all the items I want the students to have during the course of their training. That would be things that they don't need to have, but I'd really like to sell them. Warm-up suits, hats and jackets, shoes, items like that, maybe school notebooks or whatever it is that I'd like them to be using that advertises my facility out in the public. Once you have list A done, which is everything that you know they must have to train in your school, then group them up into packages and then find a good fit for them in your curriculum. So a lot of people teach sparring at orange belt level. So at orange belt level, they have a list, they have a package ready for their students because now they've passed their orange belt test and, or their yellow belt test and now I'm sorry, they pass their orange belt test. They get their orange belts, and they go, congratulations, now you can spar. And they give them a gift certificate for 10% off the equipment package they need for orange belt if they buy it within 7 days of passing their test. And then I have a package at orange belt, and I have a package at blue belt, and I have a package of brown belt, whatever those items are that they need to train at that level. So you need to figure out what out of your items on list A, where in the curriculum they start using them. And then you package them in.
Now, so obviously these packages will facilitate your pro shop sales.
Well, I mean, all of this will include the amount, will improve the amount of merchandise you sell without question. The difference is that you haven't had to do a single thing in your pro shop yet to do it. I mean, all you really need to do is have the packages. Now, once and let me emphasize this. Create a gift certificate that says if you buy the package of our sparring gear package within 7 days of completing your orange belt test, you get 10% off. And the price of the package is normally this, and it will be this if you buy it within 7 days. You give them the gift certificate at the time they pass their belt test. So you give them your belt, their certificate, and you give them a gift certificate. Okay.
Now, them know they should buy it.
They need to have the stuff to train at that level anyway.
Right.
So they have to buy it, and they have to buy it from you. I mean, we can talk about those other issues later, but they should be buying it from you. And it should be mandatory they get it from you, and this is their chance just to buy it now and get a discount if they buy it within X amount of days of passing their test. Okay, so that, just build that into every level. And then, once that's done, you can create, now when it comes to the pro shop itself, and we do actually have a pro shop and a display, I take those packages and I put them on spots on my display that are not at the main eye level. I don't put them in the prime time spot. I put them down along the bottom, or on the side, or at the top. Some schools you'll see, I see it a lot, where they have a grid mounted up above their check-in counter, and that's a good place for them because people can see it, but it's not, they can't touch it. It's not prime space. It's not eye, head, face, shoulder level on your display, because that's something that you want to put, something you really want to move, something that's on special, or a new T-shirt or something. And the reason you put these packages on these places around the side is because when you're giving your students a tour of your facility and telling them about what their experience is going to be like when they sign up for the first time, you can point to the package and go, oh, that's our weapons package. And most of our students or all of our students start to learn weapons training at Green Belt, and that's the package that you'll be using when you get to that level. And so basically what you're doing is you're telling them subliminally, you're going to be buying that package when you get to Green Belt level. I want you to see it now. And then I want you to see it every time you come train here so that when you get Green Belt level, you're already mentally preparing to buy that package. But the deal is you don't use it on the main part of your display. You just point it out and you let them look at it, and you use the main part of your display or your pro shop for things that you want to sell them. And the reason I say the difference between you want is because you know they're going to have to buy the weapons later anyway.
Sure.
Or the sparring gear package.
Sure. It's you're doing other types of marketing. I mean, to get them to buy those products, they're having a test, you're giving them a certificate, they're feeling good, they're getting a 10% discount, they have to buy it anyway, so now it almost softens the sell a little bit for them.
Right.
I think that's fantastic. Those are great ideas.
This is all stuff that you should be doing and you can be doing without an actual freestanding pro shop. You know, when we get into a pro shop itself or a display, then you have, it gets a little more complicated, but that's where you take your merchandising operation to the next level. But I honestly believe that you should master the concept of building packages and building the packages into your program first. And so before you even start creating a display, because creating a display in a pro shop can be frustrating, and then you get frustrated, someone can get frustrated and then stop doing it, when at the beginning we should master some basics first. And some other things, here's some other quick ways while we're on this topic,
sure,
is that there's other ways to build your products into the program. One way I've mentioned is through belt level, which is yellow belt, green belt, whatever your belt levels are, you have packages at the prescribed belt levels. Some people don't want to sell a package at every belt level. That's okay. So you can jump from yellow belt to green belt or to blue belt, and you don't sell them something at every level, just every other level, they get accustomed to buying a package because they're going to be learning new stuff in the curriculum and they need new tools or new stuff.
Weapons are being introduced at a certain point, sparring is being introduced at a certain point, and that varies
exactly.
For everybody.
Exactly. The other way to do it is program-based. So some people do it like they have an adult self-defense program. Some school might have an adult self-defense program, a cardio kickboxing program, a kids program, and an adult traditional martial arts program, in which case each program covers different things, has different curriculum. People may sign up for one or two or three of the programs, and we have different packages associated with each one of those programs. And that's something that I would call, instead of belt-specific, I call it like program-specific, and you build your packages for the programs you're running. And then a third thing, which is common today, and I see it more commonly now, is basic BBC or Black Belt Club and Leadership Club or Master's Club, in which case people have their students advancing through traditional programs via these clubs, and then they have a specific package designed for those clubs. So depending on how you're running your curriculum and how you're selling your services, you would build the packages in accordance with that. And if you ever have any questions about how to do this or need specifics, like you want to go through your curriculum and figure out which products to build in where, we can help you with that in our office.
Well, that's awesome. And I think that, I think that the general concept here of the package and in essence how to decide what packages you should offer, you've given very clear instruction on that, and it shouldn't be too difficult for people to do that, and I'm sure they'll appreciate and take you up on your offer to contact you there.
Well, the luxury that we had in Los Angeles at the show was we could actually take someone's do a case study of someone who was actually, in the room and break down his curriculum and do it in this case, set up the packages for him. And when, Joe, the next time you guys plan an event and you're going to have a series of your school owners there, then we can do that again. So I would encourage you, if you're listening, to go to the next event so that we can do this in person or use your school as a case study if necessary. That makes it easier when we're all in the same room and we can talk about specifically what do you do with your products and blah, blah, blah.
That's awesome. My next question would be, how much product does a school generally sell? And I'd like a comparison to someone who's then got packages together. Do you have any comparison type things there?
Yes. It's a good question. A lot of schools don't know how to benchmark or figure out what everyone else is doing and what they should be doing. And what it really comes down to is goal setting. And it's difficult to move merchandise without setting some goals and determining what your objectives are. Am I the only one who hears that?
No, I hear it. Is that your background pull or no?
What's that?
Is that your background?
I don't think so. I don't
okay,
have anything going on here.
Yeah,
okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway, okay, so the point is that when we set our goal setting, we determine how much product are we moving per active student per month. Okay, so what you should do is, and the reason I haven't given you an exact answer to your first question is because I want to go through this first, but it's how many active students do I have? And what I mean by active is, I mean, how many people are walking through my door per month to train? I'm not talking about people who are paying but not showing up, because we can't sell anything to anyone who hasn't shown up. So I need to know exactly how many active students I have, and then I need to know how much merchandise have I sold. So let's say, hypothetically, I've sold $2,000 in merchandise and I have 100 active students. That means I'm moving $20 per active student per month. And then what you do is you look at where you are at now and then you determine where you want to be. I have schools that move $40. I think $40 per active student per month is a good number, which would mean if you had 200 students and you were selling $40 in merchandise, that would be $8,000 in merchandise. That's a good number to shoot for. Some people are moving $2, some people are moving $5, some people are moving $10, and it's all over the board. I will tell you the fastest way to climb up that ladder is to build packages into the program, because by doing that, if I sell a $50 package to every student that signs up, and I sign up 100 new students a year, or 200 or whatever it is, you do the math. I mean, just by adding that one package alone, I'll add $5,000 or $10,000 in merchandise. So it's important to figure out, do the calculation for you and then determine where you want to be. Like I said, some people are at $60, some people are at $40, some are at $20, and some people are at $5 or $1.
That's fantastic because, you know, when looking at it from that perspective, you know, a school owner will not only know whether they're underachieving with their retail, but when they see that, wow, you know, $40 per month per student on average probably will result in like $20 profit, which is like adding $20 a month to their tuition.
That's right. It's $20 in profit per student per month. So if you have 200 students times 20, that's $4,000 in profit per month if you're doing it, accomplishing it. It's just that a lot of the, and let's be, I also want to clarify that, I just forgot what I wanted to clarify, except to say that it doesn't, that the $40 per student doesn't mean every student bought $40. It means that one student may have bought $150 in merchandise and one may have bought $20, but I'm averaging $40 per active student.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's great. Now, do you see that much fluctuation when you are working with different schools? I mean, what's the biggest factor to the fluctuation? I mean, what makes one school, you know, really able to move the product out versus another?
Well, people who have an organized approach to moving the product will obviously have much better results than people who don't think about it much and know that they should be doing it and then try, but their approach gets a little unfocused. For example, they may hear an idea at a show, and it may be a good show, a good idea that they should be selling this great, just say this new sweatsuit or something. And that's a really cool product. They think they can be selling it, and they probably could. It's just that without an organized approach to it, sometimes it can backfire. And so what I think is if you choose to sell a product, you should stay focused on selling that product. And a lot of other schools commonly may choose to sell too many products at the same time. So, for example, I take the packages, I build all those into the program, and then I take, or here's another common mistake. People, I'll walk into a school and people have punches, kicks, chest guards, they're all mounted on their display, all over their display. The display is dusty and the display hasn't been changed in a year and a half. And the reason that's, there's a couple obvious mistakes there, but the point is that if people see the same thing on your display over and over and over and over again for months on end, they're never going to buy anything because they always can think, I can just buy it next month. I can just think of it. I can just buy it next month. And they just don't have a sense of urgency. And it's important that you decide, I'm going to sell this sweatsuit and then focus on it. So let's talk about, I built the products into my program. I have my packages set. I have my packages on my display somewhere on the perimeter or mounted high above my countertop or somewhere where it's not prime time. And in my prime time space, I'm going to put this sweatsuit, okay, a warm-up suit. Now, the warm-up suit is going to be the product I want to move, and I'm going to focus on it. And I'm going to focus on it for 30 days or for 45 days. So what does that mean? It means, one, it goes in the prime time spot on my display. Two, I put it on display in more than one place in the school. I put it in display maybe in the back by the bathrooms or the locker rooms. I put it on display by where the parents are sitting while they're watching their students work out. What else do? I make all of my instructors wear that warm-up suit when they're coming in and out of the school every day for the month or as long as I run the special, because the students want to be like the instructors and they'll do anything they do. And if it's you and you're the main instructor and you run all the classes, then you wear that warm-up suit every day. And if you need more than one of them so it doesn't get dirty every day, well, you do it. But after those 45 days are up, I take that warm-up suit down off the display. And if people ask me why, oh, I wanted to get it, but I didn't get it, well, then you tell them, I'm sorry you missed out, but I got something even better coming next month. And then you try to pre-sell the new item coming for next month. Because you gotta build a sense of urgency that if they don't act now, they miss out. And that's how no matter what you put on display, if they want it, they'll buy it. But if you leave it on for 3 months, they'll never buy it because they think, I'll just get it next month. So to stay focused, I also tell people, and the last thing, or not the last, but another thing I do is I tell people I may make it my monthly special. And I'll tell people, hey, the warm-up suits are new. They're here for 45 days, and it's our monthly special. And if you buy one and you buy one for another person, you get 10% off the second one if you're looking for a gift idea for someone else. And then I tell the people, every time they sign in, I tell them about the monthly special. So that, and if it's not me, if I'm not checking people in, then I make sure my staff is trained to do that accordingly as well, so that they know, the staff knows that every month when they come in, there is a monthly special. They're supposed to be telling the people who come in that there's a monthly special, and they need to know what that monthly special is. So to summarize, I'm putting it up in multiple places in the facility. I'm making my instructors wear it. I'm mentioning it when they sign up, and I'm putting signs up or putting on display wherever I can. And I'm putting it in front of my as many times I can in front of the student, because they say it takes something like 6 repetitions before someone acts on making a buying decision. Sometimes sure. It's more. And I see some schools where they have a lot of opportunity where they have long hallways and empty walls, or they have multiple entrances where they have a front and a back entrance. And I would strongly suggest putting that item on display in both entrances and on the walls, because they need to see it. I want to make sure they get 3 repetitions on that item while they're in school just for one time. And then it may ultimately result in 20 repetitions or 30 repetitions for each time, you know, as a result in the total month. But that'll take, and at that point they're either going to buy it or they're not. And then you got to rotate it out and you got to bring something else in. And so that leaves me my last point on this topic is that you should always underbuy. So people are concerned about how much stock to have. You should underbuy. If you think you can sell 30 warm-up suits, then you buy 20. So that way, one is you don't have any leftover that you worry about that you can't sell, and you create a sense of urgency for the next product. See, if 10 people miss out, if you thought you could sell 30 but you bought 20 and 10 people miss out, well, you capture that energy and you upsell them the next item you're bringing in next month.
Right.
But a lot of schools – depending on the item, sometimes you have 24-piece minimums or whatever it is, and someone say, you know, you sold through 24 or you sold 24 and you have 5 people who want more. Well, what good does it do me if I buy 5 units? I have to buy 24, so I buy to sell to those 5, but I got 19 left over and I can't sell them. Well, I'd rather just sell to the first 24 and then sell those 5 people on the idea that I got something better coming next month.
And I would venture to say, because I'm sure the listeners are going, wow, I never would have thought of about doing that. But one of the other benefits is that you thought you could sell 30, so you bought 20. What happens over time, because you keep getting sold out on items, is that you're going to start thinking you can sell 50, and you're buying 40. So now you're 10 ahead. And that number that you think you can sell is always going to continue to rise, because you created that demand, you created that urgency, and you created that interest that things move in your school.
Yeah, you will end up buying more each time based on what sold well last time. But when you're just getting started, just underbuy. And if you're ever unsure, just underbuy. Because you can always get more. If the demand is so overwhelming, you can get more. But usually, there's usually just some leftover people. I'll give you an example. When we do a trade show, we tell, and let's say we're local, we can keep running back to our warehouse. Usually what happens is Murphy's Law, we'll sell through what we have, and then we go, wait, we need more, and we'll go get a whole boatload or truckload or whatever it is. We get a whole bunch more, we bring it back, and then it just sits there, and we end up bringing it back. It's just it's always better to underbuy.
And if you score with a really good product, what's to say you couldn't bring it back in 3 months, backed by popular demand?
Exactly. You just don't do it right away, and that's a great point, Joe, is that you definitely want to bring it back in 3 months. Now, they don't have to know that. You can just tell them they missed out. And they don't have to know that it's coming back. And then
sure.
You bring it back 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is. That's right.
That's fantastic. That's great ideas. I've heard you use, if you're finished with this concept, I've heard you use the concept of a used equipment sale. Could you explain what that is?
Sure. Used equipment sale is another good idea that a lot of school owners don't consider. And let's talk about what it is first, and then I'll talk about how to do it. A used equipment sale is exactly what it sounds like. We're just going to sell all of our used equipment. What are the items that usually work well? Are usually things like heavy bags, freestanding heavy bags, kicking targets, kick shields, focus mitts, usually items that you're generally providing for your students. Those are good things to sell in the used equipment sale. The used equipment sale is a good opportunity to get your stuff, your old equipment, gone, sold out of your gym and replace it with new stuff that looks better when you're doing your tour, that is safer for your students because they're, well, everyone knows why it's safer to use newer equipment that's not beat up. And it's just a better presentation for your school. And the last thing is it gives your students the opportunity to buy something that they're going to use to train at home. Now, we all know that students aren't going to train at home. They're not going to practice at home, but I will tell you that they all think they are. And when they don't want to buy a $70 or $80 retail kick shield to train at home, they will jump at the opportunity to buy one at $30 or $35 or something because they all think they're going to train at home even though they never will. So the used equipment sale affords them the opportunity to get the tool that they want and at a substantial discount, and this is their big chance. Now, I would, if you heard what some of the school owners have told us, what they've managed to sell some of their used equipment for, you would be stunned. And so a lot of people tell me, really, do you really think I can get it? Do you really think I can get that much money for this stuff? I say, yes, give it a shot. And in many cases, they're surprised. And some people are selling, I've seen schools sell equipment that is beat to shreds and sell it at some price that is higher than what we expect. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you should do. That's not the best way to go, but it can be done. What is the best way to run a used equipment sale is to, let's say you were starting from a new school and you used your equipment 6 months or 8 months. I would wait about 8 months before it gets really beat up and really undesirable. I would put it on sale and I would have a used equipment sale. Now, the same way to promote the used equipment sale, the same way I promoted the monthly special of the other item. I put signs up on the bulletin boards. I make announcements in class. I make announcements at the time people sign up. And I make sure that they see some notice about the used equipment sale multiple times. And as the sale gets closer, I make more announcements. So, you know, the week of the used equipment sale, I'm making an announcement every class. And so the used equipment sale comes, and I mark up, I take our used equipment, and I put it on sale for 10%, 15% above my cost. Because I'm going to take the money and I'm going to buy new equipment, and I'd like to try to make a buck in the process. If I can, great. If I don't, well, I get all my equipment replaced in my facility at no cost to me. But at the same time, the longer you wait and the more beat up your equipment gets, obviously the lower the premium you can sell it for. Now, if you're just getting started from scratch and you haven't done this before, well, then to get cost for your equipment might be a good goal. But at least you can get all your stuff replaced for a lot less than you would spend if you just bought it all new. And look at it this way. A lot of schools have 200 students. They may have 8 freestanding heavy bags or 7 or something like that. And they'll have a used equipment sale, and 7 people buy those freestanding heavy bags. That's if you had 100 students, that's 90 people who didn't get one, who didn't get the chance to buy one because the other people bought it. So what do? Is you tell them that the next used equipment sale will be 6 months or 8 months, whatever you decide, from this date. So immediately after I have my used equipment sale, I start promoting my next used equipment sale. So I think the key to it is consistency. If you're going to do it every 8 months, you got to do it every 8 months. And you got to stick to that because some people are going to realize, wow, I really wanted to buy that real heavy bag. That's a big 6-foot real heavy bag. I wanted to buy it, but I didn't get the chance, and now I'm going to, or I didn't have the money, and I'm going to save up money now, and I have 8 months to do it. But I don't make the announcements as frequent at the beginning, but I do. After the day I complete the used equipment sale, I put a sign up on our bulletin board that says the next used equipment sale will be, and I put the date, and it may be 8 months from now, and that's all I do. But as those months close in and as I get closer to the event, then I start making more announcements, I put more signs up, and so I promote it more as it gets closer. But I always do it consistently every 8 months or 6 months, and I make sure that I tell everybody that I'm going to do it every 6 or 8 months, and I stick to that. That's the key.
That's really smart. And do you often have people come to you right away and say, I want to get put on a list to get that?
Sometimes people will do that. They'll say, I didn't get that heavy bag. I want to buy the next one. And so what do? We sell them a new one. I mean, we just sell them a new one. If they're that excited about it, maybe if it's a really expensive item and they wanted the chance to buy it at a discount, you know, and they were going to buy it used, maybe it's a chance to buy them a new, to sell them a new one, and maybe I discount the new one substantially so that they don't pay the full retail price, but they pay more than they would if they got it used, and I just sell them a new one, and I just order it for them. That's a way to go if you want to capture their energy. Or you can tell them the next sale is in 8 months and start saving your money now, and I'll start a list, and I'll make sure that one's reserved for you.
Well, I'm glad I'm listening in because here I was thinking, okay, yeah, put them on the list to sell it to them in 8 months. Not a great sales technique.
No.
I've learned something already.
Okay.
You know, in my former life when I was working at a school, we had a really nice pro shop. It was actually pretty darn large, and we had all sorts of stuff in there. And one of the things I remember is that we used to collect stuff, and you had the hardest time in the world to move this old merchandise that has been sitting around. How do you get rid of that stuff?
Okay, well, it's a difficult topic for a lot of people to deal with, and it's usually a situation that causes frustration and causes the school owner to throw up their hands and go, I'm done with this merchandise, I can't.
I'm thinking eBay at this point, you know?
Yeah, well, the best way to do it is, there's two things you can do. One is, if it's sweatshirts and it's the middle of the summer, then you obviously got to put it in a box and put it away for a while. And I know you hate to hear it, but you have to do it. But that's only going to happen it's only going to happen once. Because as you go down to do more merchandising in the future, you're gonna underbuy, so you don't have to worry about it in the future. But let's say you put it in a box and you bring it out on Christmas now, or in a couple months when the weather cools. Let's say, for instance, it's just the item was unsellable because we did a bad job of putting the logo on it. Like we just picked a logo, and for whatever reason, we didn't do a good job of picking the logo, and the customers didn't really like it. So even if I pulled the sweatshirts out in the winter, when the time was right, they still wouldn't sell because they were just ugly. Then what I do is I make it a premium, and I build it into the monthly special somehow. So, for example, let's say I'm running a tracksuit. I'm selling a tracksuit in our monthly special or warm-up suit, and I tell people that if they buy the second, I come up with an additional sale or an upsell that covers the cost of the item that I want to get rid of, and I'm going to use it as a giveaway, but only if they buy something else. So, for example, if I'm selling a warm-up suit, I say, you know what? Are you looking for a gift for someone or anything like that? Because if so, if you buy a second warm-up suit, I'm going to give you this sweatshirt for free. And so I make it a premium. We call it a premium for doing something in return. Always make them make an additional sacrifice. If they're buying one uniform, then sell them a second uniform at a discount, or sell them a second uniform at normal price and give them the sweatshirt for free. I'm assuming the sweatshirt is the troubled item. If it's a coffee mug, you know, whatever it is, they bought a pair of hand wraps, sell them a second pair of hand wraps at normal price and they get a free coffee mug. Whatever it is, make them buy a second item and then give away the item that you want to get rid of. Your additional profit on the second item will cover the cost of the item you're giving away. Sometimes it's even more and you'll make an extra buck, but your promotional item will go away. Your dead item will go away and your revenues will go up and your volume will go up because you're moving more products. So I think that's the best way to do it.
I can't believe how much time is going by so quickly here. I have a couple of other questions. I think you've kind of answered them in the other answers to questions that I've asked, but I did have one last question to ask you, and then we'll turn it over to the floor. We're coming up to yet another holiday season, and I was wondering when school owners should start promoting for the holiday season, and if you can also point out other holidays that, you know, next to Hanukkah and Christmas, what are the next best holidays to push out some product?
Well, any holiday is a great idea to push some product, and I think that, for example, if Halloween is coming, I come up with a cool logo that's my school logo with some Halloween theme, and then I sell a Halloween T-shirt. T-shirts are like one of the highest margin items there are. They fly off the shelves. People buy multiple units, and they're out advertising for your school. So I always have a T-shirt set up for the holidays. There's obviously the usual holidays for Christmas and New Year's, but there's also Halloween, 4th of July. 4th of July is a great one, where you run a special 4th of July T-shirt, and you sell it through the month of, well, you sell it before the 4th of July. So June is a good time to be selling that, the last 2 weeks of June, and maybe through the week after 4th of July or something like that. But any holiday will work, and you can always package a T-shirt or some design. You just got to have your graphic designer add the theme to something that involves your school. Make sure it's got your school name and logo.
Father's Day and Mother's Day when you're trying to, you know.
Father's Day and Mother's Day work well because there's, you know, you're always looking for gift ideas, and, you know, they just work. It's, you know, a cool T-shirt with your school logo. Doesn't have to say Mother's Day, but it could be a good gift, and you just have to promote. You just have to start telling your students that you have these gift ideas, because what happens is their first inclination is not to think, hey, I'm going to go to the martial arts school and buy a Father's Day gift. That's just not the way they think, and you can't blame them for that. But what your responsibility is to remind them of all the opportunities that you have for them when they get there, and that's why your instructors have to make announcements in class, and that's why you have to remind them when they sign in, and you have to put up multiple spots all over your facility because they need to be reminded 10 times when they get there. You know what? I didn't even think of it, but this is a great thing. It'll work for Father's Day or Mother's Day. Now, something I want to mention in terms of the holidays as they approach, you know, Christmas and New Year's and whatnot, is that the best time to have a sale is usually the first week of December. Because after Thanksgiving, as you know, everyone starts to shop. They stop training. And the first week of December is good. Some people go later, and they go like the second week. I've even heard third week of December, and that's okay too. But you got to really promote the heck out of it. I mean, you got to really tell people. Now, the thing that where people fall short on holiday sales is that you should have a sale after New Year's, a second sale, and it's really part of the same sale, but you should have it then because after the holidays, people have received money for gifts, and they need a place to spend it. And so they should be spending it with you, so don't fall short. Have a second sale after New Year's. If you're closed between Christmas and New Year's, then have a second sale right after New Year's and advertise. Use the first week of the month of the year to advertise it, and then have it at like the end of the first week, and give those people a chance to spend all that new money that they got with you as well. And so sometimes you need to buy extra for that, but the same rule applies. If you're going to buy special stuff for a holiday sale, just underbuy, and then you can always get more next year or on your second part of your sale.
That's fantastic. Hey, I'm going to do one little plug for a free benefit that we have for our clients, just as a reminder. Is that we have a newsletter that we put together. It's 4 pages long. 3 pages are completely filled in, so it leaves the fourth page for our clients to add personalized information about their school. And one of the areas that should take up, you know, a quarter of that fourth page is some kind of an advertisement on their for their retail pro shop. You know, that's another place to put in there that special monthly item that you would like to move. Or a reminder about, you know, when you have your testing reminders in your newsletter, you also put down a reminder about the packages. So if you agree with that, that's just something that's available to our clients. We have this medium that's professionally done and ready to go that all they have to do is add in things like their pro shop material and a couple minutes, you're up and running with a 4-page professional newsletter.
Yeah, they'll need it. I mean, this is another way of reaching the customer. Make all those repetitions, just make sure it changes every month. I mean, you're going to change your newsletter monthly anyway. Just put a new product in there. And the challenging part just becomes, what do I want to put, what do I want to tell my students about this month and be looking out for new items, doing some planning.
And collect email addresses from your students so that once a month you can do an email blast letting them know, you know, what the monthly special is. And then, hey, 3 days left to get your, you know, supplies limited or whatever you can do. I assume that's all helpful stuff.
Yeah, always a sense of urgency. Last day to buy is. They
right.
will be gone. We only have a limited quantity. That's what you just said. It's a good idea, good example. It's just always create a sense of urgency.
Well, you know, this was fantastic information. I learned an awful lot myself today. I'm sure our listeners did as well, and I'm sure they have some burning questions. So, Joanne, I'll ask you to get us off of lecture mode here and see if we can get some questions from our crew.
Don't all speak at once.
No.
Hello?
I got a question.
Go Go ahead.
Yes, I don't know if I misunderstood, but what I'm trying to find is a distributor. I thought this was about a distributor that we could get supplies from.
Okay. Where are you located?
We're in Miami.
Okay, and what kind of products do you use?
Well, we use the sparring equipment. I use uniforms, you know.
Okay, have you purchased this stuff before?
Pardon me?
Have you purchased this stuff from somewhere before?
Yes.
Okay, and has it been frustrating for you?
Well, we purchase overseas because it's where we're getting the best prices from. So
yeah,
I was trying to find a distributor here where we won't have to go through the import, export, all this kind of problem.
All that hassle. Well, there's a lot of people here. I mean, we can sell you stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people. There's no shortage of people who are willing to sell you stuff. You know, we could talk about it offline, and I can make sure you get taken care of. Does anyone have any questions about the stuff we talked about today?
I do, sir.
Yes.
My name is Juan Benavides out of Austin, Texas. I just bought it at school, and they have a lot of equipment here that I do not want to use. It doesn't go with the curriculum or with what I have to bring to the plate. What I did was this past week I've announced that we have a bunch of old equipment and supplies that we're getting rid of.
Okay.
The only problem was you couldn't bring it to school to work with. I just told them that this has become obsolete in the academy and that you can use it at home and training. And the only thing that sold really well were boxing gloves. Everything else, like foam padded swords and scrimmage sticks, they're still here.
Okay, well, I have the answer for you.
Okay.
Okay, the answer is to run a seminar.
Okay.
Okay, so even though you're not going to do it in your normal curriculum, it's actually the best time to do it, is to run a seminar on stuff that they're never going to see in their normal curriculum. So if it's going to be chucks or a padded sword, I think you said?
Yes, sir.
Then you run a sword seminar and tell them, just pick a Saturday, promote it, charge them $30, $40, whatever it is, and tell them by taking the class you get a free sword. You get a free sword just for showing up, and this is going to be cool training that you're never going to see in our normal curriculum. And then you just run a one-day seminar. You charge everyone $30 or however much you decide it's going to be for an hour, 2 hours, or however much training you want to do. You sell it as a premium to people, or you even tell people in the normal course that it's only open to certain people who train in your school. Like it's only open to certain belt levels because what we're going to be doing is so special. And then you give it all to them after they've paid to take the seminar, and you just give it away.
Let me ask you this, sir. What about sparring gear?
What about it?
I have a bunch of sparring gear that's the old June Remax, and
mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I won't use it, but
okay.
I have a ton of it.
Okay. Well, in that case, you know, is it brand new?
Yes, sir.
And you can't return it?
No, sir.
Okay. If you bought that for me, I'd let you return it. just so you know. But in that case, then I would create a home training package, but I wouldn't market it as something that you're getting rid of. I wouldn't market it as something that you're not that the tone, the words you use are important. I would create a home training package, and I would tell people that, and I would use it as a gift idea. Or I would use it as a premium, like we discussed before. Or it's a good question. Another option might be to sell it to another school. Have you considered that?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, so is that? To be honest with you, I'm surprised they won't take it back. But since they won't, and you don't want to use it, and you don't want to set the precedent for it, then I would try to sell it to another school, someone at a discount where you can get something for it, or try to package it as a home training kit, packages like punch kicks, whatever it is. Or you could run a seminar. You might be able to run a seminar with parents, like how to work with the kids and have a special home training package that they can build into the seminar. So let's do this. Maybe you run a weekend seminar where the kids can train with their parents, and you want to have a special equipment package just for them, and you give it to them when they take the seminar, and they take it home with them. You charge it. The goal is run a seminar and just give it away to them, but charge for the seminar so you get some money for your training and for the product, and then give it to them as a premium for taking the seminar. You'll be able to charge more for the seminar if you tell people they get this, this, and this for free anyway. So just market it as, like, this is going to be – parent, you know, kids empowerment, and you're going to teach the parents how to train with their students at home, and you're going to encourage all your parents to come in and take the seminar, and you're going to teach them a couple things to work with the kids at home, and you're going to give them a special set of sparring gear. The sparring gear may not ever even work for what they're going to do, but you're going to use it as a chance to run the special seminar and then get rid of the stuff and get your money. And you may be able to sign up some parents in the process that just sit there and watch their children train. You may be able to just sign them up as adults. Use it as a chance to sign up new members as well.
Excellent. Thank you for your advice.
Does that help you at all?
Tremendously.
Okay, good.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shane Tossel with Champions Martial Arts in Wisconsin.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Say, I got a question in regards to same kind of question with sparring gear.
Okay.
We at one time made the decision to go co-branding. Then got away with that when we went with you guys.
Okay.
And so and as a result of that, I do have a bunch of co-branded brand new equipment that I got sitting around. I guess two questions for you. One is in regards to co-branding, I think I already know what your answer is. Does that make us, number one, liable if something happens with the equipment? And should we stay away from that? And the second question is, you know, we're dealing with, on occasion, this is probably, you know, 3 to 5% of the time, some of the students that might be coming in get their sparring gear from a rummage sale or I heard eBay before that happens. You know, what do we do in those cases? And usually it's someone else's co-branded equipment that they're bringing into the academy.
Okay, good questions. A lot of questions, but I'll answer them all. The easiest one to answer first is when people bring stuff in that they bought somewhere else, you tell them, obviously you've heard people say in the industry, tell them that your insurance precludes them from precludes you from letting them use that stuff in your facility. That's one thing. But the clincher is what you do is you tell them, look, our insurance doesn't allow you to use that here or let you use it here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell you our merchandise, but I'm just going to sell it to you at the same price you bought it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that you go back and return it to wherever, and then I'm going to sell you my stuff at the exact same price you got it. So therefore, you tell them to return it, and so that they don't feel like they, you know, if they felt like they did something great or they were super trying to save a buck or whatever it is, they save some money, then just tell them you'll sell them your stuff at the same price just so they can get it, but you can't let them use it in your facility anyway. Okay, so you're giving them an alternative and telling them to return it.
Are you there?
I'm here. Did we lose people there?
We might have. I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Okay, good.
Still here. Here.
All the important people.
You know,
so you'd actually, so if they,
you know.
So am I to understand if they paid, you know, $5 for a pair of punches at a rummage that you'd sell to them for the $5?
It doesn't sound like it's on.
Hello,
is everyone there?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I got disconnected.
That's okay.
Anyway, okay, so how much of that did you hear?
Well, I guess the last part where I heard you say, you know, if they wherever they bought it from,
yeah.
you let them purchase it for that price,
okay,
and just ask them, you know, politely to return it to wherever they bought it from.
Okay. Does that help you?
It does. So, my understanding, if someone bought a pair of punches for $5, I felt them for $5.
Well, you may have to. You may have to tell them, look, if they're normally $25 or whatever the price is, I don't know, and I can't afford to sell it to you for $5, but I can, you know, I can make a concession, sell it to you for $10. I want you to understand that I can't let you use that here anyway. I just want to try to make it work for you, and I don't want you to feel whatever
okay.
You're going to tell them. Okay.
Okay.
So
all right.
Work something that will work for you, but give them an alternative, which is that you're going to work with them, and then tell them, use it as an opportunity to tell them that in the future, if there's anything you don't see here that you want, go ahead and tell me, and I'll find a way to get it here for you. Because you want them coming, they should be coming to you first anyway. I mean, you are their master, you are their instructor. You're the one who tells them what they should and shouldn't have because you're the expert. And they shouldn't be
right.
When they go to buy something, they should think, wow, what would you know, Master Tossel tell me? And if it's
right.
not and because if they're not thinking that, then somewhere in your training or training them from day one when they walk in, then we're failing somewhere. Okay. The other thing is you have sparring gear that's co-branded. I would do something and you've made a switch to something else and you want everyone wearing the same stuff. I would do something similar to what I mentioned to this other gentleman, is try to run a seminar or do something where it's out of the ordinary and you can charge them a premium for it and maybe even reserve it for higher belts or something and then give it to them in the process. Tell them they can't use it in class and they can only use it for seminars or only in special times or when you have special training.
Sure.
So they can still use it. But use it as a premium that way and sell them something else in the process and sell a seminar and then get rid of it. And then the other thing is in terms of insurance and stuff like that, I can't say with certainty the details of everyone's insurance policies, but I'm willing to bet that if you asked your insurance agent what exposure do I have with this thing on my logo, I mean my logo on this equipment, my guess is, I don't know, don't quote me on it, is that they tell you, well, you probably have some exposure because we know we're in a society where everyone likes to sue everybody, and they're just going to sue everybody up and down the line. So I personally think that just co-branding sometimes is unnecessary on equipment because it just chews into margin. It just makes it more expensive. You make less money when you sell it, and people are already using that when they get to your school. What you really want is you want your logo on T-shirts, duffel bags, warm-up suits, hats. You want it. You want your logo on things that people are wearing outside of your facility that are advertising for you. They're not really when you give your name on your gear, they're just using that in your facility or maybe at home. I mean, they're really not. I mean, maybe at a tournament or whatnot, but that's still, you don't necessarily need that to, you know, when you're at a tournament, you have different objectives anyway.
Right.
You know, unless you're trying to steal students. I mean, I think the most part is you're trying to sign up these students outside in the normal world. You're not going to a tournament with the intention of trying to sign up every student that's at the tournament. You know what I mean?
Sure. That makes sense.
Okay. Do you have any other questions about that?
No, thank you. That's it. That's covered it.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other questions?
We are just about up on our hour.
Okay.
What I would like to do is pass along some information on how people may communicate with you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Rev Gear Sports has an 800 number, and that's 800-767-8288. Their website is www.revgear.com. That's R-E-V-G-E-A-R.com. And would you mind the email address?
No. Go ahead and you can email us at info@revgear.com. Or you're welcome to email me personally. My email address is paulr@revgear.com. And Shane or the other gentleman who is looking for a supplier or anyone who wants to talk to me offline or ask some additional questions, please don't hesitate to contact me. I'm always available, and you know, we'll work out some solutions for you. And if any of you need help specifically breaking down products and building them into your curriculum and building packages, we do it every day here, and we can help you with that. So don't hesitate to give us a call or email me.
I really appreciate you taking the time for me today and working with our clients. This was fantastic information. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And you run a great company there, and I've heard so many great things about Rev Gear. And I know that Steve is working with you as well, and we'll get some of those products into our upcoming new rewards program as well. So we have a lot of things to do together, and I just want to say thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, and it was nice meeting any of you who are listening.
Thanks for coming out, guys. Have a great day.
Okay.